Any views, thoughts, or opinions expressed on the Rejuvenating Health podcast are solely that of the speakers and are intended as such. Please contact your trusted medical practitioner for medical advice. Let's go, girls.
Hey, ladies, and welcome back to the Rejuvenating Health podcast. I'm nurse practitioner Lindsay Van Schoik. Shauna is out today, so we'll be missing her. But today we have a very special guest. We have Heather Gray, and she is a functional diagnostic nutritionist and a bioenergetic practitioner. And she specializes in supporting clients with chronic and complex illnesses such as Lyme disease and autoimmune disease. And so she's been practicing for over 20, or she has over 27 years of personal experience. And so we're just really excited to hear her story and get some insights onto educational topics like Lyme disease and autoimmune diseases and all those types of things. So thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your backstory and how you got into this space.
Absolutely. You know, I kind of start off the story in the same places that I was basically born full of shit, right? Like how many of you, right, can relate to being constipated at a really early age? Like, I remember sitting on the potty for so long when I was 4 years old that my feet would fall asleep. And that was the start of my let's throw band-aids at symptoms experience with Western Med, right? Like they were throwing nasty thick oils down my throat and stool softeners, but nobody was trying to figure out why this four-year-old was so constipated. Fast forward a little bit more, and we find that, you know, my uncle had committed suicide that year. So there was some massive trauma in the family. And then I think that also triggered my autoimmune disease of celiac. And I was eating a standard American diet at that time, you know, mac and cheese, Kool-Aid, you know, the sad diet. And so that started my path to being a really great host, right? So then when I did get bit by a tick when I was 13, the terrain was perfect. Like I said, I became a good host. Yeah. Not everybody that gets bit by a tick gets Lyme disease, because some, you know, our immune systems have evolved with this bacteria for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. They've actually found it in a mummy in the Italian Alps like 4,000 years ago. So we have evolved with this bacteria for a long time, but there's a lot of factors that play into, you know, who gets Lyme and who doesn't and whose immune system can handle it. And with a wrecked gut and autoimmune disease in place, early childhood trauma, I also knew I had, was living in mold at the time and had detox genes where I couldn't detox mold. So there was a, you know, the deck was definitely stacked against me.
Yeah, that's a lot that I think people don't understand how trauma can really stimulate autoimmune diseases. So I kind of have a similar boat and triggering an autoimmune disease. So I had lymphatic colitis and it got triggered in high school. And I had like some bullying going on with a friend group. It was very traumatic. I was struggling with an eating disorder. And then all of a sudden, wham, like get this crazy autoimmune condition. But you can treat those autoimmune conditions. They don't have to, you don't have to suffer with them forever. But you're right. People really don't understand that trauma can associate a lot of these symptoms. And so when I'm having conversations with patients a lot, it's like, okay, what was happening in your life when those symptoms came on? Because there was probably something happening that triggered that response.
Absolutely. It's fascinating to walk that back and then to see the, oh, because I didn't even realize it, you know, how connected the dots are. And it's sad because you do, when you get diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, you know, you get told you need this biological drug, this steroid, this, you know, whatever, and you're going to be on it for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you ever hear those words, I call BS, run out the door and find yourself a new practitioner that's going to, you know, heal you from the root cause, because most of these autoimmune diseases are lifestyle, you know, trauma triggered, and they can be reversed. I've reversed 2 out of 3 of mine. You know, I've put Lyme in remission. But back to the Lyme story. So when I did get bit at 13, a lot of folks think that you're supposed to get a bullseye rash, EM rash. And actually that only happens in 30% of the population. So I was one of those that didn't get a rash. So we took the tick out the wrong way. Yes, there is a right way and a wrong way to take out a tick. I would actually Google that. And so you can see for yourself. I did it the old fashioned way where my mom took a lighter to it, you know, flame, so it would release. But when you do that, it upsets it and it regurgitates what's in its system. So if it is carrying Lyme and other co-infections, your chances of getting it are just that much higher.
Yeah.
So fast forward two more years and my first symptoms are starting to crop up with my first stint in the psych ward for a suicide attempt.
Oh my gosh.
Another episode of let's, you know, put band-aids on symptoms. You know, nobody was trying to figure out why this 15-year-old was trying to off herself. You know, they called me attention seeking. You know, they put me on antipsychotics, antidepressants, mood stabilizers. None of them worked, you know, and sent me out the door. And, you know, around that time, I was probably having 10 to 20 suicidal thoughts a day.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's crazy because, so I'm actually, I'm trying to start a new movement of like, let's stop calling people crazy. Let's start saying your brain inflammation is showing, because that's what really was happening to me, right? With these autoimmune processes, I have a leaky gut. So now I've got a leaky brain. I've got a bacteria that can cross the blood-brain barrier, you know, and the louder I screamed, I told you I'm not crazy, right? That's the more they're like, that's what crazy people would say. And so nobody would listen. And when you get slapped with that stigma, right, it's a stink that you like can't wash off you. And then people, you talk about being gaslit from there on out, it was just 10 times worse because now you have this label of being insane. And I was so far from insane. I was sick. There's a difference.
Yeah. I mean, the doctor looks in your chart and they're like, oh, she's had psych visits and you're stereotyped right from there.
Yep, that's all she wrote. Boom. So most people who have had chronic Lyme, and here's the crazy thing, chronic Lyme was just recognized by the CDC this last month, November. The disease that I've had since I was 13 years old just got recognized by the CDC last month. Like, do you talk? That's insanity. That's insanity, right? Lyme clients definitely know the meaning of gaslit because, like I said, when the very thing that you've been suffering with your whole freaking life is not even recognized by the medical establishment, like, don't even get me started. So it took me 27 years to get diagnosed.
That's nuts.
It is nuts. It was horrible. I mean, I had cavitation.
So you were 42?
I was 34 when I got diagnosed.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Yeah, 13 to 34, and I'm 45 now.
Okay.
And so after I got my diagnosis, it's funny. So when you've been sick for that long and you get your diagnosis, it's like, I've got a golden ticket. Mm-hmm. You know, you think you got your answers, and really, that's just when all the fun really begins. Because now you, like I said, got a disease that's not recognized. Chronic Lyme was extremely controversial on how to treat it. Like, it's ridiculous. So I didn't know that that was the beginning of a very long and bumpy road. The doctor that finally diagnosed me, I run into him every now and then. And sometimes I don't know whether I want to smack the crap out of him or if I want to give him a hug, because he went that traditional medical model route of just throwing antibiotics at me. Right? Napalm in a person's body that hasn't been working properly for 3 decades. I'd been sick for so freaking long, not pooping. He didn't ask me, you know, so I'm still constipated. Never asked me about what my diet was like, what my stress level was like, if I was sleeping at night. Just went to war with my body. And for the first time in my life, I actually thought I was going to die.
Felt miserable.
Oh, it was absolutely horrible. And I had a 9-year-old at the time and a business, and it was horrible. So, but the reason I say, you know, I wanted to hug him is because of that horrible experience, I very quickly pivoted. And that's when I became a functional practitioner, because I knew that I wasn't going to get healthy that way. And I needed to do something different. And I, you know, asked the universe, God, you know, whatever it is that you believe in, you know, what's my next step? How am I going to get better? And slowly the path got, you know, laid out in front of me.
So how did he diagnose you? Because I know, like, standard wise, you get bit by a tick and you're doing an ELISA or a Western blot, and, you know, that's not always accurate. So how did you come to get that diagnosis?
You know, if I remember correctly, because it was a while ago and it was before I know what I know now, I think I might have like barely made the Western blot, because I think they did do the Western blot on me, but it's absolute garbage. Like if you have a doctor and you've been sick for more than a year and they want to do the Western blot or the ELISA, again, run, find another practitioner that can run another lab. A lot of Lyme labs aren't very accurate because Lyme is such a stealthy little bastard. Like I have so much respect for this bacteria. It's crazy in the different forms that it can live in. It can like hide itself in your immune system. If you start hitting it with antibiotics, it can go into a cyst form and hide. But I think I barely made the Western blot. But what was funny is that just 5 minutes after talking to him, actually, it was his physician's assistant who originally diagnosed me. She was from another country. I can't remember where. But we just 5 minutes of talking to her. And she got a twinkle in her eye. And she was like, I know exactly what's wrong with you. Have you ever been bit by a tick? I was like, yeah, why? And she goes, I think you have Lyme disease. So while I was waiting for that Western blot to come back, though, another friend of mine told me about a live blood analysis or dark field microscopy that is used quite often in looking at Lyme. And you get results the same day. So you walk in, they put a spot of blood underneath a microscope, blow it up, and they're like, oh, look at that. There's some candida. And oh, look at all that undigested protein in your blood because you got a leaky gut. And oh, look at that spiral-shaped bacteria there. There's your spirochete. And so I had my answer before I walked out the door that day.
Oh, wow. So what symptoms made that physician's assistant be like, okay, you have Lyme's, like what Lyme disease? What did he say?
We had this conversation beforehand too, that she says Lyme's disease. And it's never Lyme's disease. It's always Lyme. So the difference is if it's named after a person, then it's got the apostrophe after it. But if it's named after a town, so it doesn't, but it drives like it was telling her, I was like a lot of people go crazy when you hear Lyme's disease, it's like, no, it's every Lyme. So there's only like six, diseases out there that have migrating pain. And Lyme disease is one of those. So if you ever have a person coming in and presenting, man, I've got this, you know, it's my right shoulder one day and it's my left elbow the next day. And then now it's my right knee. They're not a hypochondriac. Look into Lyme disease. So I had the migrating pain. I had suicidal thoughts, depression, anxiety, chronic widespread pain, gut dysfunction, neurological issues. I mean, just joint pain. I had what was called Lyme knee. It likes to eat collagen. And so it'll hang out in joints. And that's why there's so much joint pain. But my right knee would swell up to like two times its size for just no reason at all. I had what was called Lyme rage. And it's very true. I was in anger management classes. Actually, that one might have been one of my first symptoms. Because I was in anger management classes at the age of 15. And it was so sad because everybody was like, just count to 10, you know, just take a breath. And they don't realize that this disease caused a condition where there's no buffer. There's a situation and then there's a reaction. And it's got a name for a reason. It's called Lyme rage. My ex-husband used to call me the Hulk, you know, Hulk smash. Because it was just, I mean, it was just like, I was fine 1 second. And then the next minute I was usually going off the rails. A lot of psychiatric, a lot of physical pain, joint stuff.
Okay. So like nowadays, if you have these issues and you go to your provider, they're probably going to blow you off. But if you want tested for chronic Lyme, what is the best route to get tested for that? Is it just going off of symptoms or is there more accurate tests than the ones?
There is. I like to use Vibrant Labs. They've got a great tick-borne 1.0 and 2.0. So the 2.0 looks at a lot of the co-infections and viruses that come along with Lyme, because it is typically never, ever, ever just Lyme disease. It's usually, it comes with a party cocktail of all kinds of nasty critters. But they're expensive, you know, and most people who come to me, they've already been down this road. They've spent tens of thousands of dollars. They don't have a lot to work with. So I use their symptoms and I use a Horowitz intake form. And then I also use the Cellcor intake form. And between those three things, I actually get a really great picture of, is it Lyme disease? Is it Bartonella? Is it mold? Is it gut dysfunction? Is it heavy metals, right? Because usually those are all the things that are dealing, that a person's dealing with when they have Lyme. So you have to know in what order and what a person has, because if you go out of order, like if you're dealing with heavy metals before you deal with the parasites, or vice versa, you're going to end up having to go back and redo things. So it's going to take longer and it's going to be more expensive. You know, same thing with like candida. Everybody wants to treat candida, but if you don't address the parasites and the heavy metals before you address the candida, you're still feeding the parasites, the parasite poo is feeding the candida. So you might be starving yourself from sugar and on all these supplements, but it's still getting fed from the parasites in your body. So there's an order in which to do things.
Yeah. So you got this diagnosis and then you got slammed with antibiotics and you felt like trash. So what happened then? What happened next?
So then I became a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner and I started implementing lifestyle changes, which is key number one, 100%. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Like if you're at a therapist's office and you're on this antidepressant, but you leave there and you go eat McDonald's and you trash your gut and blow up your brain, you know, the best supplements, the best diet, the best everything in the world's not going to work its full potential if you're going to continue to eat like crap, if you're not going to sleep at night, if you're not detoxing properly, if your mindset's not right. So that's the beauty of FDN, is it really teaches those foundational, right? And it's crazy at how much magic happens once you put that stuff into play, and how you really, a lot of folks don't even have to treat for very long for Lyme or at a fall, because like I said, once you get these barriers to health off of a body and then the body can take over and do its job, it's amazing how then it puts these critters in its place.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that with everything, right? Like I tell people that are struggling with, I mean, if they're menopausal, their hormones, they can't replace them, but thyroid disease and hormone imbalances, you have to be living a lifestyle. Like if you're eating if you're storing a bunch of extra fat, then you're feeding your estrogen. So it's not eating it's not eating the inflammatory foods and all of that type of stuff. So if you have your lifestyle in check, then kind of what's the next step?
Man, I went like 3 months and almost completely turned my whole life around. It was crazy, from being so sick my whole life to, you know, horrific periods that would kick my ass, to the mental, emotional, the pain, the weight. It was insane. And then I hit a plateau. And I hit a plateau because I didn't know anything about mold at the time. There's a lot more conversation around mold these days. I mean, so much so that it's such a barrier to health that the three top questions I ask people before I start working with them: are you living in mold or are you being exposed to mold? Do you have cavitations and do you have sleep apnea? Because those three things, like I said, all the best diet, all the best supplements in the world aren't going to do you any good if you're not getting enough oxygen at night when you sleep. If you've got an infection in your jaw that's leaving your troops scattered, and mold is insidious for causing all kinds of problems. And I'm definitely the canary in the coal mine. I've got crappy detox genes. So it's funny when people talk about your detox bucket, I've got a detox thimble. So you know, it doesn't take much to overfill it. And then I'm sick. So I had to then peel back the layers of mold and then peel back another layer of cavitation and get that whole infection cleaned up from a wisdom teeth. So it's usually from wisdom teeth or root canals.
Yeah.
Cause that infection. About, yeah. I was like, no root canals. Go see a biodentist and do something. But that one was crazy. That happened. Another physician's assistant who diagnosed me with that. She was doing some hands-on work with me and she got to my head and I didn't even tell her. And she goes, you keep chasing Lyme, but it's not going to get any better until you figure out your cavitations. And I never even told her. It was just like energetically, it was kind of nuts. And then so I went in and went to have surgery. It was like my surgery was scheduled 2 weeks before COVID hit. And then it hit and I got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And it got pushed back like 4 months. By the time I get in there, my cognitive was like, damn, I would walk into a room, forget why I was there. I would lose words and stutter. The stutter was insane. Like it was bizarre. And then within 2 weeks after having that infection cleaned up, the crap that they found in there, like staph and other viruses, something that actually causes miscarriages, which I did miscarry. Once I got that cleaned up, like within 2 weeks, it was like the lights came back on in my brain. It was amazing. And then the last little piece that I've been putting into place the last couple of years has been like the trauma and the mindset stuff, because as a good functional practitioner, you know, I was able to do all the protocols, but you want me to deal with my emotional baggage? I don't know what you're talking about. So I had to dive deep into that realm, and that has been such a game changer as far as not relapsing, because that was the thing that kept happening, because I hadn't addressed that. As I just kept relapsing, because if you're in fight or flight, right, if there's always a tiger in the room, your body can never fully heal. And so I had to learn to calm that nervous system down. And the beautiful thing about that work is you don't even have to remember a lot of the trauma or relive it to actually get some more resilience in your nervous system. And it's been kind of crazy, because I didn't remember the majority of my childhood. Like from age 17 below was completely wiped out. And then as I started healing, I'd get little flashes. Oh my gosh. So it's been quite the trip.
Yeah. We preach to our listeners and our clients all the time about the working on yourself and the trauma and all that type of stuff. So have you ever heard of the Unlifted method? Mm-mm. So you should look this up. So Mark England, he's this great speaker. And he talks about the stories that you have in your head and the language games that you play with yourself and working on the trauma and the victim mindset and negations and projections and all of that type of stuff. So all of my coaches are certified in that. And we walk through our clients through that type of stuff, because it is a part of their healing. And like you said, it can like make that relapse happen if you don't deal with that type of stuff. Cause I don't know how many times I hear clients being, they're like doing good and they're eating healthy and they're moving their bodies, and then something triggers them and they're back to where they started. It's such a vicious cycle.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's so many amazing programs out there right now. But yeah, it's funny. Like I remember, you know, he said, if I had an uncle who killed himself, that kind of showed that I also didn't really live in a great, healthy environment to begin with, because most people just aren't killing themselves because they have a happy, wonderful life.
Yeah.
Most of the time. So all the other trauma that came from being raised with addicts, and, you know, my parents were some of the biggest bullies I've ever met in my life. And a lot of that carried over, and I didn't even realize how horrible I was talking to myself until a couple of years ago. My new husband looked at me one day and he said, "Stop talking to my wife that way." Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy shit. Like it like sunk in, right? Like I was talking to myself. I wouldn't talk to my worst enemy the way that I was talking to myself that day. And so, you know, it takes some work. Like I really had to be on top of, it almost felt like a part-time job there for a while of all the things that were going on in my head, and then stopping them and switching them out. But it was so worth it, because, and it's funny now how I see that language in other people when they talk about themselves, and I like cringe, you know, and it's just like, no, talk to yourself like a loved one, like talk to yourself like a cherished little child. Like, no, don't do that to yourself. This world is good enough about beating you up. You know, the last thing you need to do is beat yourself up.
Yeah, for sure. So do you live in an area that's like wet and moist, or where did all that mold come from? I guarantee you, if I told my clients or asked them if they lived in mold, they'd be like, how do you even know?
Yeah. You know, and it's the funny one, because I got my butt kicked this summer because I was going to some health conferences, and a lot of them were Arizona, and didn't think anything about mold in Arizona, but the hotels there were the worst, because all the windows don't open. Mm-hmm. They're running their AC 24/7, and most of them got leaks. The mold in Arizona was insane. So I live in Colorado. It's another drier climate, but you know, it doesn't get hot, you know, as hot as Arizona. So we're not having a lot of those issues with the air conditioners. So that our first house that we bought, and it's funny because I fought for this house. I fought for it. come to find out, it was the thing that was keeping me and my kid so ridiculously sick. He had a couple suicide attempts when he was younger too. That house, oh, so these freaking people closed off under the balcony in the back next to the master bedroom. They closed it off with drywall, put carpet down, and then put in a hot tub.
Oh,
a hot tub with drywall and carpet. Mold was everywhere. It was horrific. And we didn't know any better. We demoed it ourselves. We did not have it remediated properly. And so that house became like our little house of horrors for the next 4 years that we lived there. It was, there were times where my ex-husband had to like come save me because I was at a grocery store parking lot melting down, like not being able to function, not being able to logic, like nothing. The only thing he could do was leave work and come rescue me and talk me off a ledge. Like those years were some of the darkest years living in mold.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, most people, and then we can, like the whole detoxification thing, most people don't detoxify well, like they have some kind of methylation issue. I see it all the time. And I think like natural good ways of detoxing are like hydration and pooping and the sauna.
Sauna.
Yeah. Same. Like at least 5 days a week, right? Like such a good way to detox. But I see people wanting to go down this like crazy ass supplement, they're getting scammed almost by these crazy supplement detox things. So when you're like supplement wise, as far as limes, do you have any lime? I'm going to correct myself on that. Do you have any like supplement protocols that you recommend for that? Or is it really just like lifestyle and working on that type of stuff? The mold, the
there are certain supplements that can be really, really great for that. You know, I love Revolution Health, you know, Zyto Detox, and then they've got a charcoal type supplement. I use a lot of Cellcore. Oh my gosh, it's late on a Friday for me and I'm starting to lose words. They've got a binder that's really great because you can actually take it around food. It doesn't actually bind food. And that can be really hard for people with binders because you have to like take them 2 hours away from food front and back. So it could be kind of prohibitive for some folks to remember. I just have them use, you know, alarms. I'm like, once you get done eating, set an alarm for 2 hours, you take your pill, then set your alarm for another 2 hours and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, there's citrus pectin, modified citrus pectin, which is a newer binder that's proven to be really, really amazing. But yeah, those are the three that I kind of rotate around with right now. But you know, even so
the
just
binder,
what is activated charcoal?
Okay, yeah. And what exactly is that doing for them?
So it's helping bind mold out of their system. So if you're like me, you've got crappy detox genes. And normally when mold is in your system, your immune system would tag it and say, you don't belong here. And then your immune system can get rid of it. It doesn't tag it for me. So it just continues to circulate. And so the binders help bind it, remove that. A lot of us also have heavy metal issues and parasite issues. And again, I don't detox properly. So binders are a way of life for me. And I'm finding that there's a nice balance because if I've gone the other route where I've over did it with the binders and like my fingernails started peeling off and my hair started falling out because I was binding too much of my minerals, right?
Yeah.
So there is definitely and now I only really take binders like when I'm doing a coffee enema because that kind of helps soak up whatever I'm stirring up with the coffee enema. And then sometimes I'll just take it like right before I get in a good sauna, you know, and then I'll do a skin brushing. So I'll take my binder, I'll skin brush, then I get in the sauna with a little bit of castor oil on my liver. And it's just like a 1-2-3 punch, you know, as far as detox goes. But yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. So what would you say to someone who's struggling with this, who's having these symptoms and they like literally don't even know where to start? Reach out to you.
Well, absolutely. Or somebody who's been there, done that, because who's not just going to focus on treatment. Like that is the number one thing that I want to scream at the top of the flipping mountains is don't focus on treatment, because you're gonna get so ridiculously sick. You're not gonna get fully better, and you're gonna continue to relapse. It's just gonna be a waste of money, and it's gonna take you down a weird dark road. You know, look at someone who's gonna focus on the whole foundations of health, that's going to teach you about detoxing and how to eat and mindfulness and, you know, something along those lines. Or if you don't have one person who knows that, all that information, then get yourself a team. Right. Yeah. And that's awesome as well. But don't focus on treatment. Like, you've got to, like, mind, body, spirit, like you have to look at the whole picture if you really want to get better and stay better.
Yeah. And it's not something that I think so many people just have been frustrated with it for so long that they're like, this is just the way of life and it doesn't have to be that way. But you're right. Like, you can't be taking supplements and doing all these sauna and then going and eating McDonald's, because that happens so much.
Well, that's the frustrating part. So I call myself a case manager. I'm a phenomenal case manager, because so many Lyme patients come to me because they have to be so advocates for themselves, because we've been just completely dropped by the medical system, and they come to me with these beautiful pieces, but either they're in the wrong order, or they don't have, you know, they're missing like an edge piece, mm-hmm. right? Like you said, the diet piece. Well, that was one of them. I met this one girl who had gone through 9 months of the CellCor protocol. I wish I could actually find her practitioner, because I'd like to smack her. I'm not typically a violent
person. That's expensive.
It's like a $5,000. And the practitioner never told her about diet. She's Lord. I met her in a Lyme group, and she was like, I've done the CellCor thing. I still feel like crap. And I'm like, you know, little miss me. I'm like, I'm digging in deeper. And I'm like, are you eating grains, dairy, wheat by chance? And she's like, yeah, why? You know, I eat the regular things like pizza and pasta. And I was like, no, you have absolutely got to get rid of
so much inflammation.
And she's also got Hashimoto's, you know, grains are like one of the biggest contributors to, trust me. So I tell her this, and she blows me off. 2 months later, I get a message from her. All it said was, you were right. And I knew exactly what she was talking about, because she finally had to have a come to Jesus meeting, and she dialed in her diet, and then she finally got better. So that's why I wanted to smack her practitioner, because who puts somebody on a $5,000 protocol and doesn't talk to them about diet? So that's, again, I've had an acupuncturist a long time ago, $300 worth of supplements, sent me out the door, didn't teach me how to use them, and wasn't talking to me about diet, lifestyle, you know, all that other stuff. So if somebody, one, tells you they've got a quick fix and they can get you better within, you know, 2 to 3 months, and you've been sick for 27 years, flag on the play. If they're only focusing on treatment, flag on the play. If they're not talking to you about diet, rest, sleep, detox, water, the basics, flag on the play. You really need to look at the whole picture.
And it's like that in medicine too, right? I tell people all the time, like, if your doctor is putting you on a blood pressure medicine and not talking to you about those things, then find a new doctor. If they're putting you on birth control for painful periods and not talking to you about those things, find a new doctor. But again, like, too, there is a lot of these like specialists out there that aren't even doctors that are trying to sell you these plans.
Oh my gosh, talking about the basics. Influencers that are out there that are giving like medical advice. Holy hell. I'm like, I had one, she was so cute, but she wanted to like work with me. And I'm like, well, what's your background? And she had no medical background. You know, she only, you know, kind of helped heal herself, which is great. But oh my gosh, I can't have you helping me out with my clients, you know, when I've spent, you know, over 10 years and tens of thousands of dollars on my education to just be somebody who, you know, healed themselves. And now I can give everybody else advice. Like, that's irresponsible.
Yeah. And I think that's like, I've been noticing that a lot, and it's super frustrating. These people on Instagram, they're like, oh, I'm a functional practitioner. I'm like, what training did you have? Because I know you didn't like go to school and spend all these years and spend thousands of dollars in these courses. So I like to the listeners, like, don't get caught up in that Instagram social media stuff. Like, make sure that whoever you're going to work with, they have a background and they have education and they have client testimonials. And it's not just like, I mean, that's like prime Beachbody coaches, right? Like, I lost weight doing Beachbody and now I'm a nutrition coach. Not trying to bash Beachbody, but yeah, anyone out there can call them a health coach and health practitioner, but you need to make sure that you're really working with someone so you can get results and feel better, and you're not spending thousands of dollars and then having to come to you or I to spend thousands of dollars.
Right. Well, and that's the sad part about like the Beachbody MLM coaches is they're one trick ponies, right? They've been taught this one way. And if you fit into that model, it'll work for you. But if you're an outlier, if you've got, you know, mold issues, if you've got hormonal imbalance, if you've got, you know, a leaky gut and you're constipated, you know, the program's not going to work for you. And then, you're going to get frustrated and it's going to be a waste of time, a waste of money. And so, yeah, anybody can call themselves a health coach. And technically, you know, mine is a certification, but it's so long that I actually can order labs. But there's, it's different tiers. And I get a little annoyed when people call me a health coach and I'm like, no. Like I really, if I would have gone the traditional route, I would have a PhD behind my name right now, but I just chose not to because I really wanted to get people better.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So where can people find you? If they just want to learn more or are interested in working with you, I know you're on social media, but where can people find you?
Everywhere is thelimeboss.com, and that's LYME, not LIME. We're not making margaritas, you know. So yeah, Lyme disease, thelimeboss.com. I have a podcast. I have a free cooking series that's on my website because, again, we were talking about food, and so many people, that's a barrier. They look at me when I tell them they need to go cook something, and they're like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, so like, what do I eat?
I made a cooking series because it's like, that's awesome. Let me show you how easy this can be, right? Yeah. It doesn't have to be scary. It can be fun, can be delicious.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we'll make sure that we link your socials in the show notes as well. And this has been great and informative for me even. So I'm sure it'll be amazing for our listeners. And I just appreciate you coming on and sharing your like your life story and your wisdom and all that good stuff.
Thank you so much for chasing me down. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Have a good day, ladies. Make sure that you share this with your friends. Leave us a 5-star review. If you have any questions, make sure you're in our Rejuvenating Health Facebook group and you can post those there. And we'll see you next week.